Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to What's the Fact, okay, on Radio Color. Thanks for listening again. Today is our 8th edition, our 8th program. We're so happy to be here again with you. And I'm also very happy to have my fellow teacher colleagues here with me. So, Anna, welcome back. How are you? I'm very good, thanks. All right. And welcome, Christina.
Hello, good afternoon, Cuenca. We're back again.
Yeah, it's good to have you again. And, of course, Agus, you know, without the person without whom we couldn't do this program at all, okay?
I'm so pleased to be here.
So
good afternoon, everyone.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. By the way, for the future, where can you find our program? Okay, Anna, can you tell us some tips?
Mm-hmm, of course. So you can find us on the radio at 106.2 FM.
Mm-hmm. And Christina?
Yes, and also at radiocolor.es. Mm-hmm. And, of course, on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah, don't forget Facebook. Right, so today, as usual, we have our grammar and common mistakes section with interesting information for all the students. And for those who are not really studying, you can find it useful as well. Then we'll have a reading, as usual, and then a song, okay, with an idiom. And after that, we'll see some more idioms. Today, we will talk about color idioms, okay? And today, for the fact, because this is What's the Fact, we're going to talk about studying abroad, okay? We will discuss about the benefits of studying English abroad and similar things. And also, somebody will talk about the TOEIC and the TOEFL certifications, because as you remember, we're going around all the different certifications that we have. The general, the principal ones, the main ones. Okay, fine. How about starting with the grammar?
That
fine.
Would be good. Yes.
Okay. Yep. So today I'd like to talk about irregular plurals. But if you remember, just a few weeks ago we were talking about some irregularities, some irregular plurals already. For example. Man and men, remember? Like Spider-Man, because there's only one, and the X-Men, because there's a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. And then woman, women, that would be very similar. And then remember that there are words ending in F or in F-E, whose plural takes in a V. For example, wife, wives, or wolf, wolves, okay, with a V. Fine, and now, why don't we talk about child? Everybody knows the word child, but what's the plural of child, Anna?
So the plural of child would be children.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Many people make the following mistakes. They either say child's or children's. No, neither of those is correct. And as Anna said, it's children. One child, two, three, four, five children. Right. How about food, Christina? What's the plural of food?
Okay, food is feet. So uh-huh. We transform the two O's into E's. And the same happens with tooth. Again, we transform the two O's in E's. Mm-hmm. So it's foot, feet, tooth, feet. To teeth, sorry.
Not quite the same part of the body.
Yes, exactly.
That was good. I think everybody understood. Right, yeah. Irregular plurals are quite common with some animal names, right? For example, mouse. Everybody knows the word mouse, but some people tend to think that the plural of mouse is mouses. No, it's not right. No. What is the plural of mouse, Agus?
It's mice.
Mice. And it's got a different spelling. Yep. Could you spell that for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, of course. Is M-I-C-E.
Okay, so mice. Mm-hmm. That would be the plural. And here's a difficult one. This one is for those who get like really top marks. Ox, O-X, ox. That's an animal. It's more or less similar to a bull. Okay. What's the plural of ox in English? Who knows that?
So the plural of ox would be oxen.
Okay. It's not a word that we use every day, of course.
No.
But, you know, but it's good to know. Like the plural of ox is oxen. And what? And the meaning of ox is buey. Okay, so bueyes, ox, oxen.
There's a very popular brand in England called Oxo. Uh-huh. O-X-O. Okay, and everybody buys Oxo in England. Uh-huh. And it's a concentrate.
Stock cubes.
I think
I remember that.
It's like caldo de gallina blanca.
Yeah.
When we do our stews in Spain.
That was a good one. Okay, now let's continue with some more animals, but this time the irregularity is slightly different. For example, everybody knows the words sheep, deer, fish, salmon, camel. Okay, they're very common animals to talk about, but not everybody knows that the plural for these words is similar. It's the same.
It doesn't change.
It's the same word. It's not that they don't have a plural. They do have a plural, only the word doesn't change when we put it in the plural. So we can say one sheep, but we say two sheep, three sheep. We don't add anything, we don't change anything. And the same for one deer, two deer, one fish, two fish.
So no fishes.
No,
that
no we don't say
exist. Fishes.
And this is a very common mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same with salmon, okay? One salmon, two salmon, one camel, two camel, all right? And finally, this is not an animal at all, but it's aircraft. Okay, aircraft is like an airplane, but it has no. Well, the plural is the same, like one aircraft, two aircraft. Okay, but we don't add an S, we don't change anything at all, right? That is the irregularity of it. Okay, fine. I hope you understand that. Now, I would like to talk about capital letters, capitalization, okay? That's when the first letter in a word has a capital letter, okay? Guys, let's comment on the different cases when we use capitals, okay? For example, let me start and then I'll let you talk. For example, the first person singular pronoun, I, is always capitalized, okay? We always write I, like I am, I go, I live, always with a capital I. It's a rule. We can never write that in small case, right? Anna, some more examples, please.
So another example of this would be with months of the year. Mm-hmm. So, for example, January, February, all of those would begin with a capital letter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Christina, there's something similar to months, okay, that also take capitals.
Okay. For example, celebrations or important dates. Mm-hmm. For example, if we talk about Christmas, if we talk about New Year's Day, new would be with capital letter, year would be with capital letter, and day would be with capital letter, which is very, very basic. And there's also another one, which is about languages and nationalities. That's extremely important because in Spanish, we don't put the capital letter.
Yeah.
But if you are English, it's a capital E. If you're Irish, or if it's the nationality or the language, it has to be with a capital letter.
Absolutely.
Always.
Thank you. So don't forget that. Agus. Tell us more. What other kind of words take capital?
Okay, you have to write with capital letters the first letter, of course, at the beginning of a sentence or after a full stop. It's the same as in
Spanish
and probably all the languages. But I'm not sure. But
probably not Chinese.
No, probably not.
As they don't use letters, but But basically, this is the way it works in most languages. Okay, so don't forget that. Anna, could you tell us, for example, what's the day today? What day is it today?
So the day, the day today is Thursday. So.
Okay. Thursday, Saturday, Monday, any day of the week is capitalized in English.
Yep.
Okay. And Christina said something interesting before. Sometimes the rule does not apply in both languages, right? For example, in Spanish, we never capitalize days of the week or the months. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, in English, we do. So be careful there if you're going to write a month or if you're going to write a day or a nationality, a language, etc. Right? Yeah. And of course, something very basic. Christina with a capital C. What's the rule here?
Well, it's a name. It's a maiden name. So
it's a proper name?
It's a proper name, so it has to be with a capital letter.
Of course.
It's exactly the same in Spanish.
Not just for people's names, okay, but also for names of towns and cities.
And corporations, too.
Corporations, yeah. Countries, continents, all that works exactly the same in Spanish. Okay? Well, that was good. I hope you understood that. And now, after the grammar, or the grammar that we saw today, I would like to comment on some false friends, as we usually do here. For example, the word disgust, okay? Disgust, you can probably work out the spelling. As you see it, one might think that it means disgusto, okay? But it's not quite that, okay? Christina, what's the meaning of disgusto? Oh, sorry, of disgust.
You're going to give me a disgusto?
Yeah.
Okay, it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do. To disgust is repugnancia, asco, something that, you know, it's really awful, terrible. Yeah. And you've got disgust and disgusting.
Very good.
Okay.
Disgusting would be the adjective. And could you give us an example, maybe?
That soup I ate the other day was absolutely disgusting.
Exactly.
I couldn't finish it.
Okay, it was
really awful.
Yucky, awful.
Okay.
Nasty. Very good. So disgusting or disgust is not what it seems. It means disgust means repugnancia, asco, etc. Okay? Another one. Eventually. Okay? It looks like eventualmente, but it doesn't mean that, okay? Agus, what does eventually mean in English?
Eventually in English means finalmente o con el tiempo.
All right, yeah, so nothing to do, really.
No.
It has a very different meaning from what it looks like, okay? If you let me, I will give you an example with this. For example, I kept sending my CV over and over again to the same company, and they rejected me at first, but then eventually they hired me. Eventually I was successful, and they, you know, so in the end, they did get me. Okay?
Quite interesting.
It's funny enough that you're talking about successful. What about exit?
Ah, very good, yeah. Yeah, exit would be our last false friend. Exit looks a bit like éxito, okay? But no, because éxito is...
successful.
Success, or
success.
Right, but what does exit mean in English, in Spanish, Christina?
You don't go to the cinema, you don't go to stadiums, you don't go anywhere, Manuel. It's written everywhere.
Yeah.
Exit, salida.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, so exit, salida. This is not usually a problem, but, you know, just in case...
It might be,
yeah. Maybe for
beginners. Yes, I have heard this. I've had a lot of exit in my exams, my exams, yes.
So that would be a wrong sentence, of course.
Yes.
All right. So remember, disgust, repugnancia, asco, eventually, finalmente, and exit, salida. Okay, good. Anna, are you taking notes of this?
Yes.
Okay, for your Spanish? Because it works either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Anna, by the way, why don't we start with the Count of Monte Cristo?
Okay. Yes.
We're soon finishing, okay? But today, let's read a little bit more of that. And Anna's going to start reading, if she's so kind. So please.
Cool. Okay, so when he was alone, Villefort put his head in his shaking hands. The letter is gone now, but Dante read the name and address on the envelope. If anyone learns that my father is still one of Napoleon's allies, I'll lose my job at once, he thought. They could even put me to death. Perhaps nobody will find out now.
Dante was taken to a police cell, where he waited for several hours. Then, to his great surprise, he was taken to the port by four large policemen carrying guns. They pushed him into a small boat, which they started rowing out to sea. "What's happening?" asked Dante. "Monsieur Villefort promised he would release me."
"We don't know anything about that," said one of the men. "We're just obeying our orders. But where are you talking me? Tell me, what haven't you guessed? Look around you."
Dantes lifted his eyes and suddenly saw a frightening black shape right in front of the boat. It was the Chateau d'If, a castle on a small rocky island, and it was well known to everybody in Marseille as a prison. No prisoner ever left it alive. He cried out in horror. "My God, the Chateau d'If, why are we going there?"
The policeman just smiled and continued rowing. "But that's a prison for the worst criminals, enemies of France. You can't take me there. I've done nothing wrong." Just then, the boat touched the rock, and the policeman carried Dante, who was fighting and shouting wildly, into the castle. Soon, he found himself alone in the dark, silent underground cell.
He could not understand what had happened, and he felt that he was going mad. And we will leave it there for now, okay? I hope you enjoyed the reading today. And now, I think it's time for us to listen to some good music.
First, we have some words
for our
students, okay? Yeah, for our listeners. Yep.
Okay, so for the homework for this week, we would like you to try and tell us the meaning of some of the words in this passage that we read today. So, for example, some of the words we would like you to explain the meanings of. So, for the first one, cell. The second, row. The third, God. And the final one, mad. So we would like you to try and explain the meaning and to also put the words into a sentence.
Okay, thanks very much, Anna. So, Agus, if I'm not wrong again...
No, you're not.
So let's make a move to the song today. Agus, what song are we listening to today?
We have a very nice one. It's so beautiful. I'm sure you know it. But this is White Flag from Dido. By Dido, sorry. Yeah. do you know that?
I think I do, yeah. I think I've listened to that many times, especially when I was a teenager. That was popular in the 90s, maybe.
Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. So, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Yes, please.
Okay, so let's go to enjoy White Flag by Dido.
Thanks. Felt it. Where's the sense in that? right. That was really beautiful. Okay, I used to enjoy the song very much when I was a teenager, as I said, but I still enjoy it now as an older teenager. Right. So, Anna, could you please tell us about the song and tell us about the idiom that it talks about, white
yes.
flag?
Yeah, of course. So in the song, and the title of the song too, white flag. So we can talk a bit about what this means. So a white flag is like a flag of truce or surrender. So it's an internationally recognized protective sign of truce or ceasefire, and also a request for negotiation. Mm-hmm. So it's like a symbol of surrender. So for example, if somebody waves a white flag, it's a way of saying that they are surrendering, they mm-hmm. are giving up. And people carry a white flag so that they won't be attacked. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, we surrender, we give up.
Yeah, I think we've seen this in many, many films.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's not really difficult to get, because in Spanish we have the same expression. Well, we don't say it, but we have the same image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think it's an international sign.
Yeah.
Everybody recognizes
it. So if you want to give up, if you want to surrender, mm-hmm. I think you can do it here in Spain as well.
Yeah. So in the song, it's not so literal. It can't be taken literally. But she says, I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be. So in this sense, she means that she doesn't want to give up or surrender, give up on the relationship because she's still in love. So it's not literally, but symbolic.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Very long.
Yeah. So we can talk a bit about the origin.
That'd be great.
Of the meaning as well. So the first time this was used was a way of surrender during the Eastern Han Dynasty. So this was in 25 AD. So in the Roman Empire, the historian Cornelius Tacitus mentions a white flag of surrender in 109 AD. So before that time, Roman armies would surrender by holding their shields above their heads. So this was maybe a new way of showing a sign of surrender.
Yeah. And after that, it was already recognized by every army, and it was used in war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this image has survived, you know, for centuries.
Uh-huh.
So we still use it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So cool. Thank you very much, Anna.
You're welcome.
Okay. That was interesting as usual. White flag. White, as you know, is a color. So we're going to talk about some more color-related idioms, right? For example, I'm going to start with black. Not so black as he or she is painted. Not so black as he, she is painted. What does that mean, Christina? Could you explain that?
Yes, of course. Well, it's basically, it's not as bad as you think or as you believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good, but it's not terrible.
Exactly. Is that when everybody or many people tend to think that a person is a horrible person, and then somebody defends this person and says, well, she's not so black as she is painted.
Okay, or right. Even in a situation, when you have a difficult situation, it's not as black as it's painted.
As it's painted.
Okay.
Okay.
And would you like me to an example?
If you could give another example, maybe, yeah.
Yes, for example, Peter is a nice person. He's not so black as he's painted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be quite clear.
I think we have the same in Spanish. It's so similar. So you can say, no es tan malo como lo pintan, incluso mm-hmm. negro. I think we can also say negro.
Perhaps, okay.
No es tan negro como lo pintan.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I think we can.
Perhaps for a situation we would say that. But for a person, that can work out. Like, no es tan malo como lo pintan o como parece.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, probably, and if you say black with a person in Spanish, at least in Spanish, probably it's not the most usual way to say that, but if you say that, everybody will understand.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Okay. Now, let's it's passed from black to blue, okay, blue. Once in a blue moon, once in a blue moon, okay. Anna, what does that mean?
So once in a blue moon means something that you rarely do, so something that doesn't happen very often. So, yeah. For example, I would say I see her once in a blue moon.
That means that you don't see her very often at all. You see her very rarely.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, or something, I don't know, like you might win the lottery once in your life, but, you know, it's something that happens once in a blue moon, for example.
Yeah.
Okay? Or never, like it's my case.
Many cases.
Hardly ever.
We've got a similar one in Spanish, because in Spain we don't use it in a blue moon, but we have an expression also, which is...
Which is it?
Uvas a peras. You know? And it's the same. Hardly ever.
I love it, and I love the fact that, you know, each country is influenced by its culture, and the, you know, in maybe in English they, I don't know, they trust, to put it in a way, the moon or the stars and things like that, to make these idioms up. However, here, because we work on, or we have traditionally worked on agriculture, you know, we have many idioms with fruit and other plants, and, you know,
yeah, and like the English have a lot with animals.
Yeah, because it's more, you know, like they have cattle, and so that it's
that could be another one for another day.
Yep.
And they've got so many that I think you'll have to put them by type of animals, because, of, you know, there's like tons with birds, tons with dogs, with cats, and they're quite interesting.
That's true. Remember, curiosity killed the cat.
So
we did it last week.
Time. All right, good. Fine. And now let's see red, the color red. It's just red tape. Red tape. And it means excessive bureaucracy, okay? Excessive paperwork, okay? So, for example, Agus, could you give us an example with that?
Of course. It takes weeks to get that visa. There is so much red tape involved.
That means that it's not easy to get a visa in this case. You have to do lots of paperwork. You need to go several times to the ministry or wherever you do that, because the red tape is there. There's lots of red tape. Okay? Yeah, that was it for today. Okay, now, if you remember, in the last weeks we've been describing the different types of certifications that we've got in the English language, let's say. So, Christina, what are we going to see today?
Okay, well, we've talked before, because we've talked about the Common European Frame of Reference.
Yes.
And we've already explained to our listeners about the Cambridge exams. We've already talked about Trinity exams. And today we're going to explain the TOEFL and TOEIC exam, continuing with our set of institutions that prepare these official certifications. I would just like to add that these exams can now be taken and sat in Cuenca, and they can be sat in at Foro Cuenca. Okay, so we'll leave you a little bit so you can listen to the explanation of what these exams, both TOEFL and TOEIC, with us today. Thank you.
Who is ETS and who is CAPMAN? Educational Testing Service, or ETS, is a nonprofit institution based in Princeton, New Jersey, and founded in 1947. It employs over 3,300 professionals and makes over 50 million tests worldwide. Out of them, 8 million are in English. It is the biggest organization in the world dedicated to academic research and improving education. CAPMAN is its partner and exclusive dealer in Spain. Can you please explain the exams that ETS offers to certify the different CFR levels? Created by ETS, both TOEFL and TOEIC are official tests that assess the level of English and offer official certificates issued by ETS. It is important to distinguish between the two of them. TOEFL stands for Test of English as a Foreign Language, and therefore is a test oriented to academic and educational environments, where English is being learned and used for learning. It was born in 1962 and is used by all U.S. universities as a way to know if a person has enough skills in the language to be admitted for a degree, master doctoral courses, etc. It is by far the most prestigious test in the academic entities worldwide, and over 1 million tests are made every year. The TOEIC, Test of English for International Communication, is a very different exam focused in the professional environment and with contents related to real everyday life contexts. It has been in operation since the early 70s, and nowadays over 8 million tests are made worldwide every year. Having said that, and referring to the CEFR, our system is far more practical than others. With only one test, we assess the level of knowledge of a student within the international ones set by the CEFR. From the very beginning, and very much following the latest educational theories, ETS has always drifted from passed or failed tests that end up qualifying students with a good or bad tag. Any student seating a TOEIC or TOEFL assessment obtains a result and is assigned a level, and this is obviously different to the rest of tests so frequently used in Spain. This fact makes our exams a good investment, as the best taker will always get his or her certificate. The only thing to know is which level of knowledge will be certified from A1 to C1. Who accepts TOEFL and TOEIC? Well, TOEFL and TOEIC are the world market leader certificates and are commonly accepted. This is another important differentiating factor, as many other certifications do only have national or partly European validity or usage. From a practical point of view, if anyone who is listening now wants to certify his or her level of English and validate it in Spain, we recommend TOEIC of any use, such as becoming a member of the army, the police, or the security forces, becoming a civil servant in Banco de España, Agencia Tributaria, or Comisión Nacional de Mercado Valores, for instance, doing an Erasmus stay, completing the university degree, or entering the workforce, etc. Not to mention if you want to use it abroad, where it is the most widely known English certificate. But if you want to access a university degree, master, or doctoral studies in any university in the world, then you should take TOEFL IBT, as it is the only certificate accepted in every single foreign academic institution. In the workplace, TOEIC is widely accepted, and in many cases, it is the only one accepted. This is the case of companies such as Repsol, Cepsa, Iberia, El Corte Inglés, Renault, CLH, BP, Accenture, KPMG, Sony, Deloitte, ACS, Acciona, SARA, where TOEIC is the tool used in recruitment and promotion processes. Some of these companies may validate some other certificate if it's prestigious enough, but TOEIC is the tool they officially use. Let me mention a very clarifying case of the use of TOEIC for recruitment. Banco de España, Agencia Tributaria, and Comisión Nacional de Mercado Valores offer public positions every year with an average of 3,000 contestants per call. Well, the first exam they make is TOEIC, and it is a compulsory qualifying round. If you think about this, you can see how important organizations in the economy and business areas know TOEIC is the only tool that can determine if a candidate will be able to develop his or her work in English. Do these certificates expire? I knew you would ask that question. It's funny. Everybody asks that, and it means there are competitors, messages are reaching the market. Speaking about an expiry date is not the right term. That is a term for dairy products like milk. Our certificates do not vanish away. They do not have an expiry date. Now, answering your question, there are two points. Firstly, this idea is triggered by a footnote printed in all our certificates. Its aim is informing any organization or company receiving the certificate that the date of the exam may be useful for them to be aware of the fact that the level could have changed in time. The recommendation is for them to assume the level is approximately the same within 2 years, after which the candidate should be assessed again. This footnote is a clear evidence of our engagement with quality and the importance of providing accurate information for the public organizations or companies. Secondly, in a more practical note, the validity of the assessment is only to be told by the organization receiving the certificate, ours or any other, according to their own standards and the affected need to use English in the workplace. No matter if the certificate states something like we do or not, like Cambridge ones, the validity must be set by the recruiting process or the human resources department. Where can I take the TOEIC exam? You can take our exam in any of the official examination centers, language schools, or universities available throughout Spain or Portugal. In Cuenca, the official examination center is valued partner Foro Cuenca, where you can take TOEIC and also TOEFL Primary, TOEFL Junior, and TOEFL ITP. Why TOEFL or TOEIC? Well, our exams provide more accurate assessments thanks to the numerical scores, breakdown of results, and the four skills and descriptors of the skills acquired and weaknesses to improve. They are different because they are not only thought for a simple, fast sale. but due to the practical philosophy they were created with, they're more useful and complete. They are also more objective and closer to the real academic or professional environment. The test itself is also easier to complete for the test taker because you always get a certificate your money is well invested. Our exams are not made to force a mistake through intricate questions because this is not what happens in real life. They are practical exams where the goal is to measure the ability to communicate in context, not to check your linguistics theoretical knowledge. And also, our test administration policy makes them easier to take because you have many dates, test dates available for registration the following week. No need to register 1 month in advance. The certificate is ordinarily received at home in 12 days or even in 5 days with special scoring services. You can report only some parts of the test if you want to improve the results so you can save money and effort. Then why aren't the TOEIC and TOEFL so well known as others like Cambridge or Trinity? This is mainly a question of time, because Cambridge exams were introduced in Spain over 20 years ago, and TOEIC has been here since 2011. And the first 3 years, it was only focused in the massive demand of the corporate area, where our customers were public and private organizations testing their actual or potential staff. We have to admit that our work within language schools has not been started until 2014, and it was widely caused by the new university degrees derived from the Bologna Agreement. These new study plans require students to certify a certain level of knowledge of a European Union language different to their mother tongue. Thus, the language certificates market suffered a boom and demand for official exams preparation increased drastically in language schools. This brought about our expansion of the network of public examination centers within high-stake English language schools. Nowadays, the trend is shifting, and over 15,000 university students are taking TOEIC yearly in Spain. This has made the TOEIC exam commonplace in English language schools. Thank you. And is there anything you would like to add? Maybe just insisting on the fact that measuring achievement and progress should not be something to fear. It must be a positive and necessary process for organizations, for teachers who want to improve by assessing the efficiency of their teaching, and for students who really want to identify their needs and learn English. TOEIC and TOEFL are perfect tools for those goals through comfortable and easy-to-make examinations with certificates valid all over the world. Congratulations for your program. We hope you continue broadcasting such useful information.
Okay, that was very, very interesting indeed. Fine, so now let's see some more information about, you know, the learning of English. I think we're all interested in learning English at some point. So, you know, many people, or more and more people, choose to study English abroad. Okay, and it's a very valid option, and it's one of the best ways to do it. So today, this is what's the fact, and now the fact is studying English abroad. Okay, yes. I would like to start by talking about some benefits of doing this, some benefits of studying English in an English-speaking country. All right.
So, yes, and I'd like to add, Manu, that there are many ways where we can do this. Okay, you can go and study abroad for a year, for example. You know, if you're a student in high school or in secondary school, you can do a year abroad. Or like many Spanish people do, they can go in the summer and take advantage of the summer and the holidays and go and spend it in a camp or traveling abroad. Or even you can go and study at university to graduate school. And all of this, in any of the cases, has a lot of benefits. And I think that's what we're going to talk about, the benefits of studying some kind study abroad.
Absolutely.
In this case, in English.
So, Christina, for example, what would be one of the first benefits that come to mind to you?
For me, I think the first one that comes to mind is that you see the world. I think for me that's the biggest reason.
Yeah.
Because the reason you should consider study abroad program is the opportunity to see the world. Because by studying abroad, you will experience a brand new country with, I would say, incredible new outlooks, customs, activities, food. And it includes, you know, seeing depending on where you go, but you will see, you know, you could go to new museums, landmarks of the host nation. Mm-hmm. And you, when you're abroad, you're not limited to traveling just in the nation in which you're studying. But, you know, if you go to England, I mean, you can go to Ireland. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's next door, basically. Mm-hmm. Or you can travel, you know, if you go to the north of England, you can mm-hmm. go to Edinburgh, or you can go down south to London. So I think it's an incredible experience.
In the case of England, England is not a huge island, right? So it's easy to move around. And you know, when I studied and lived in England, I got the chance to see, you know, a huge part of the country, and not just England, but also Scotland. So that was very good.
Yes, it's the same case the other way around. But when English or American students or foreign students come to Spain, they mm-hmm. travel a lot. I mean, sometimes you say, well, they've been here a month and they've been to Madrid, to Seville, to Bilbao, to Valencia, mm-hmm. to San Sebastian.
To Cuenca, please. American people, please come to Cuenca.
I was going to say the same. Remember, we always have to say Cuenca in the program.
I think after 2 years living here, I'm a hardcore Cuenquense right now.
Yes. But there are more reasons. I mean, there are many reasons and many benefits. And maybe it's, you know, you can comment on what do you think, Anna? Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. I think when you go to a different country, it's such a good opportunity to experience something completely different. And that's why I think people love it so much. And obviously,
Anna, as a teacher, uh-huh. as a teacher yourself, mm-hmm. what do you think about the experience of studying? Just the fact that you're studying abroad, what do you think about mm-hmm. it?
So I think that's another great reason to go abroad. So you get a chance to see a different side of education, so a completely different style, mm-hmm. perhaps to your own country. So by doing a study abroad program, you can see a completely different side or education that maybe you don't have in your own country. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's another great way to experience and understand other people, other nationalities, their traditions and their culture too. And obviously, if you go to a different country and you study in a school, that's the key point of going. So you get to learn and experience mm-hmm. a different style of education.
Absolutely. Like,
totally agree.
Yeah, like Agus has studied abroad. I have studied abroad. Christina has studied abroad. Anna, you're living. You're not studying right now, but you know, uh-huh. but you can see the differences between the English system and the Spanish system, and of course we can compare it, and we compare it, and we see the drawbacks and also the good points of either system. So I think it's very enriching. Mm. It's very enriching. Okay, but the culture is also very enriching. You know, when you study abroad, we don't just go there to study. We do many other things. And for example, so we can take in a new culture. Okay, so for example, many students who choose to study abroad are leaving their home for the first time. That's important. When they arrive in the new host country, they're fascinated by the distinct cultural perspectives. When you study abroad, you will find incredible new foods, as Christina mentioned before, customs, traditions, and social atmospheres. Sometimes it might be a little bit of a shock, because obviously we're used to one kind of culture, and then you go abroad and you see new stuff. But, you know, eventually you'll get used to it, and I think it's very enriching. It's a fantastic experience, you know, in every mean. So you will find that you have a better understanding and appreciation for the nation's people and history sometimes. You will have the opportunity to witness a completely new way of life, and that is priceless, in my opinion.
Of course, imagine, for example, Anna, next Holy Week, she's going to be shocked by the Holy Week, because it's something that is shocking. For foreign people, I think. So if you go abroad,
it's quite a cultural experience, uh-huh. a beautiful one, I would say, and quite unique.
Yes.
You must not miss it. even for me, you know, I'm not originally from here, and yeah. And of course I know what Easter week means in Spain in general, but living it and being there is quite different, and you know, so it was a little bit of a shock, a positive shock for me. Mm-hmm. So for you it's going to be like, wow.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So take the chance.
All this is very good, but language skills, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest benefits.
Of course.
Okay, you're going to hone or improve. Okay, that's a good word, hone.
Hone, what does hone mean?
H-O-N-E, Anna. Mm.
So if you say, I want to hone my language skills, it means you really want to work on them. You want to improve them and perfect them.
So hone is improve.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And that's one of the big reasons for taking studying abroad programs. Summer courses, in when we go for 2-3 weeks, 1 month, or when we immerse in a course, it's a completely immerse. You completely immerse yourself in a new language. Mm-hmm. And there's no better way to learn than to dive right in, okay? You will get so much practice because you're absolutely surrounded by, you know, you have to speak it. There's no way out. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the best ways of learning. So it's one of the biggest reasons, I would say.
I couldn't agree more with you, Christina, but be not mistaken, my friends. When we go abroad, there are other Spanish-speaking people, just from Spain, from Latin American countries. So it's important, I would say, to mix or to sort of immerse in the culture, in the native culture. It's very easy to take the easy way and speak Spanish with other Spaniards or Mexicans, etc. So you know, in my experience, you know, I tried to avoid speaking Spanish, and or if there are other Spanish speaking people around you, try to have more nationalities so you have to speak English. I would say that I think it takes a little bit of an effort, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah, and not only that, but we're talking about also how you mix, and you mix with friends, and we'll mm-hmm. talk about this later, but it's not only that, you already know the Spanish culture. Mm-hmm. You're traveling to a country, and we've talked about culture before. Mm-hmm. When you travel abroad, you can mix with other nationalities. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be with Spanish people or with English if they're mm-hmm. there. You also will encounter a lot of people from other countries.
That's fantastic.
And that's what you should do, because mm-hmm. you gain so much from that.
Exactly.
But you're losing a huge opportunity.
Yeah, otherwise, it's tourism.
Yes.
Exactly. You're a tourist.
Correct. And don't forget, and it's an important point, you make a lot of friends. With this, but I mean, there are other advantages. What happens if you go abroad? I think you have more things, yeah. more benefits.
Another thing could be the career opportunities. And remember, career doesn't mean carrera. Yeah, we did
the
carrera profesional.
Yeah,
that's what it means.
Yeah. So when you finish your program and return home, you will return with a new perspective on culture, language skills, a great education, and a willingness to learn. Needless to say, all these are very attractive to future employers. So, mm-hmm. what do you think? It's not the same if you have been studying in your own country, because you have probably just one perspective. So, if you go abroad...
But not the only mm-hmm. one perspective. It's mm-hmm. a completely different experience, which I always talk about differentiation. And, mm-hmm. and you will hear me talk about this. I always say, don't stay with a B1, go for a B2. Don't stay with a B2, go for a C1. But it's the same with the rest of things in life. If you are different from the rest with the things you do, mm-hmm. You will be ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to stand out
yes.
from the crowd.
I got my first job when I was 21.
Wow.
Just 21 in a multinational advertising agency. Mm-hmm. Why? Because my degree was finished and because I was fluent in English. Mm-hmm. That was the main reason. I was completely different.
And you had already lived abroad.
I came from studying abroad.
You're half English, but you have been studying elsewhere.
I've studied in New York, and mm-hmm. I've studied, and I did my degree in abroad. Mm-hmm. And when I arrived there, my English was spoken, was not written, mm-hmm. And it was quite an experience.
Yeah.
So
It did open the doors mm-hmm. completely. Mm-hmm. For me.
So it is not only personal interest, but it's also interesting for your CV.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, to be honest, if I was an employer and I had like two candidates with identical CVs, but one of them has studied abroad, you know, I would definitely go for the one who studied abroad, because not just because of what he might have achieved abroad, like academically speaking, but also because I know that that person will have like an open mind. He will have lived lots of incredible experiences. He will be more mature. You know, that's the kind of person that I would be looking for if I was an employee.
And he will be able to handle difficult situations.
Exactly.
Because he's already gone through that, probably. Mm-hmm.
Because you have to survive. Like,
yes,
like,
yep. And he'll be more independent.
Exactly.
Further horizons.
Yep. Yes. Yep. And, yes, you can also...
And speaking of... you know, open-mindedness, mm-hmm. Anna... can you talk about some other benefits of, you know, of studying abroad?
Yeah, so I think another great one would be it's an opportunity to maybe find a new interest or a new hobby or activity for yourself. So, for example, if you go to another country, maybe it's common for them to do different sports or different activities, and you could discover something that you really enjoy or really like. So, for example, you might go to another country and maybe a warmer country with a warmer climate, and the activities are much more outdoors. So, for example, hiking or water sports or things like this. So it could be something that you've never tried before that you find out that you really love. So it's a chance to discover new things.
Like, it might be your case, Anna, because you come from a not so warm country, and now
yeah.
that you're living in Spain,
mm-hmm.
and especially here in Cuenca, it's great for hiking
yeah.
and water sports and things like that.
Exactly.
So that's a brand new experience for you.
Yeah, 100%. And also different kinds of entertainment, so not just sports, things like maybe dancing or films or plays, concerts, all of these things that you can enjoy when you go abroad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's everything. It's like you're living in another country, so you have to live, you have to do, you have to fulfill all the aspects of your life, not
mm-hmm.
just academic
yeah.
Stuff, but also, you know, you have to have fun.
Yep. When in Rome, you know.
The Romans do.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, you have to make friends. And actually, in many, many cases, you make lifelong friends. So, because one of the biggest benefits of studying abroad is the opportunity to meet new friends from different backgrounds, like totally different sometimes. While studying abroad, you will attend school and live with students from your host country, all right? And from many other nationalities.
Yes, and I can give proof of this,
mm-hmm.
because as I said before, I studied my degree in New York, and mm-hmm. the mixture of cultures was very big. I have friends from 30 years ago.
Wow.
All of them have been in Cuenca.
Wow.
And some of them have come back.
Wow.
I have them on Facebook. I know their lives. My daughter has been in one of their houses, and we did an exchange. Mm-hmm. And it's not only one, I can tell you. I've got 6 or 7 friends of my university studies.
Wow.
And I just love it.
So they have been here.
Yes.
They are lucky.
Actually, I must say this, because Agus is going to, you know, Agus is passionate about Holy Week in Cuenca. Some of my friends from the States came, and they're Catholic, and they were here on Easter Friday, and they were going to go to Avila or to Segovia, because their base was Madrid. And I said, oh, no, you can't. You must come to Cuenca. So I went on Easter Thursday, picked them up from Madrid, and they came and spent whole Easter Friday here. And they still, every single Easter, send me a note saying, what an experience.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really...
Especially on Friday
yes.
probably. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've got like sort of similar experiences, but as I said before, I'm an older teenager, so I, you know, my friends are not. I haven't had these friends for 30 years, but maybe maybe 13 years or something like that. When I did my Erasmus in England, some of my friends from there are still friends with me. I have been to their weddings. I have met the children, all right? And it's just fantastic. They have not been to Cuenca quite yet, but they have been to Madrid visiting me, and we have gone to nightclubs, we have gone to museums, we've done everything. So I believe you, Christina, when you say that.
Manu, and to your village, remember you have to say hello to your village. Yes. You forgot it.
Two weeks ago. My hometown, my beautiful hometown, is called Tintón. It's in the province of Madrid. It's just, by the way, just for you to know, it's just 1 hour and 15 minutes away from here, from Cuenca. So, you know, it's no excuse, it's in a different province. No, just go there. It's a really short road trip, and it's totally worth a visit. It's very beautiful. Lots of tourists visit it every weekend, every week. So, you know, please.
And there, everyone knows Manu, so you can say I'm a friend of Manu.
But you will not get discounts. You will not get discounts in bars, by the way. But you know, you can try. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, just to recap, after the study program that you're doing ends, make an effort to stay in contact with your international friends. In addition to rewarding personal relationships, these friends can also be important networking tools later down the road. Okay, like they can help you find a job in their countries, or in the worst of cases, you can just visit them in their countries, and you can do some sightseeing, etc. Okay.
Yes, and also I talked a little bit about the personal development, with your careers and how it helped. For example, it helped me because I had studied abroad. But you do become more explorer, you do become more independent, and sometimes it does give you the opportunity to discover yourself because you're doing something different, you're in a completely different atmosphere and scenery, and everything's different. And
it helps you be more mature.
It helps you definitely be more mature. Does. And I can... it does help you. I can see that with the students that we've had, even doing summer courses, and they've had the mixture of all these things, and maybe we can talk about that later. Okay. And students who study abroad also show commitment to education, right?
Yeah, Anna? Definitely. So we touched on the fact that it can improve your career prospects, but also what about when you are applying to universities and to graduate schools? So it can show how committed you are and how determined you are to do well maybe in your career, and it can set you apart from other people and other candidates. So graduate schools often look for people who have maybe something unique on their application or something special. So I think if you've studied abroad, it shows that completely. And it shows that you are maybe interested in other cultures or other things. So it's a great thing to have on your application when you apply.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In conclusion, studying abroad, I would say it's a life experience. It's an experience for life.
Right?
So, you know, for most students, this time may be the only opportunity they ever get to travel abroad for a long period of time. So eventually, you will find a job and a career, and the opportunity to study abroad may turn out to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So please take this chance to travel the world with no commitments, but to study and learn about new cultures, because study abroad is an experience unlike any other.
Okay, I would just summarize, and you've already done it. I would say it's a fantastic way to live a language. You can travel, learn, know and discover new cultures, and above all, live a unique experience. Mm-hmm. We had some foreign students in the last two summers that went to some summer courses, English summer courses, for 2 weeks in Oxford.
In Oxford, yeah.
Yes, in England. And remember the day we were coming back, they didn't want to come back. And they said, we want to stay another week, we want to stay another week. And they came back saying it was had been the best experience in their lives.
I know the feeling, yeah.
Yes. So, well, I would just like to point out that on the 10th of March, there's going to be a session, an open door sessions of Sheffield and Photo. Sheffield is one of the leading companies in sending students abroad to learn English, and it's a good opportunity for people from Cuenca to go and learn about all the different courses or summer courses for parents or for children. You know what? You know, where can I go? Should I go to Ireland? Should I go to England? Should I go to the United States? Should I go to Canada? Should I go with a family? Should I go to a residence? Well, all that information. It's an open session, so anybody in Cuenca can go and visit
and
it.
Find out, yeah.
And find out. It's in the hotel NH, NEATE, okay, on Friday, 10th of March. From 4 to 8, so, you know, just wander around, have a look. People from Sheffield are really, really pleasant. We'll give you all type of information about everything, and we will be there just, you know, if you have any question, quotes, anything you want to know about the programs.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the perfect chance, because sometimes you don't go abroad because you're afraid. Because you are alone, but this is a good opportunity because you are going to be surrounded by people like you.
Yeah. Yes, and also, you know, not only to receive a brochure, but to talk with the people that really are there and that organize it. And that's, you know, how you really learn. And what are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? And all the type of questions that we always ask when, well, for example, when my daughter went to Oxford for 2 weeks, you know, I wanted to know absolutely everything of where she was going to be and what she was going to do.
You have questions, you have even fears, but that's why we're there.
So this is the best opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I must say that, you know, I've worked for these kind of companies in the past.
That's true.
As a group leader, okay, I was a person in charge of, you know, taking care of the students, you know, taking them to the different places, making sure everything's all right. And I must say that everything is very safe, everything is under control. Don't you worry, parents, because it's just fine. And not just that, it's not just safe, it's fun, okay? Doing one of these summer courses abroad, or maybe not in summer, maybe during all the academic year, it's a lot of fun. You know, I have seen all my students, you know, do incredible experiences, like day trips to very unusual places, you know, do different sports, different kinds of activities and things like that. So I would totally recommend our forest students or any other students in Cuenca to take one of these
I think at the
courses.
End they just love every minute of it.
Nobody wants to go back to Spain after this.
It's true, I wouldn't either, because they have so much fun.
Even the group leaders don't want to leave. You know, it's so much fun for us too. Okay. Right. This is all for today's fact. Find out what's on in Cuenca. Okay. In the next days. Okay.
Okay. Well, Manu, during the next days, we have in the theater. Historia de una Escalera. That's on the 8th of March at 8:30.
I suppose that's a theatre play?
Yes, in the music hall. Uh-huh. And there's also on the 10th of March at 8:30, also in the music hall, a concert, LA Summer Rain. That is again on the 10th of March at 8:30 in the music hall. Mm-hmm. And as we just said before, we also have the open session of Sheffield at NEH Hotel on the 10th of March from 4 to 8. Okay, so that's what's going on this weekend.
Don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, don't forget all these lovely restaurants and bars we have. It's always nice to go and have some tapas.
Yes. All right, so next week we will be doing our program number 9, okay? And among many other things and contents, we will be talking about an English-speaking country that's India. It's not the typical, right? But we'll be talking about India and many of its secrets, okay, with you. Right, so thank you very, very much indeed. It's been a pleasure, as usual, and Have a very nice weekend, Anna. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Goodbye, everyone.
Okay. Christina, thanks for being with us again.
Okay, thank you. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Enjoy your weekend.
And you
Agus,
too.
Thanks for everything. Goodbye.
And thanks, Manu.
Goodbye, everyone.
And thank you, Manu.
Okay. It's a pleasure. Okay, it's my pleasure. Right, so see you next week, guys. Keep listening to us, okay?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.